Alarming numbers of Americans are choosing to take their own lives. Just ahead, what health professionals here on the First Coast are doing to stop suicide. Good morning and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. The show's always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and watch the show with video on demand at tvjax.com. Just ahead, we'll take your calls on the spiking suicide rate in America. What do you think's driving it? Get on the line at 549-2937. Then later, the National Kidney Foundation of Florida wants to pump you up this month to fight kidney disease. Plus, The Spectator with some ideas for your weekend, all of that and more ahead this hour. But first this morning, a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows the U.S. suicide rate is the highest it's been in 30 years, increasing 24% from 1999 to 2014. Suicide, says the CDC, is now one of the 10 leading causes of death. Rates are up significantly among middle-aged Americans, and there's a huge and alarming suicide spike among women and girls in this country. We begin the hour with a closer look at these numbers, what's driving them, and also what is the picture when it comes to suicide in Florida. Elizabeth Fields is a licensed mental health counselor with the Duval County Health Department, and she joins us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being with us. And here's our question to callers. Suicide rates are up sharply all around the country. What do you think is driving this? What are your concerns? Maybe you have a loved one who's hurting. Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email or tweet us, or just weigh in on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. So Elizabeth Fields, the new CDC report shows the rate of suicides in this country is the highest it's been in decades, up nearly 25%. That certainly caught people's attention, as it did yours. What are your thoughts?
According to the CDC report, there's been a steady increase in suicide since 1999, with an even greater increase since 2006. What I can say is that in Florida, based on our 2014 statistics, we are actually at a lower rate in Duval County. In the state of Florida in 2014, there were 2,961 deaths due to suicide. 119 of those deaths were in Duval County. Suicide is a very horrible end that people go to when they feel they have no other recourse. The wonderful thing, though, is there are so many different options out there for help that people can turn to. I can also encourage different people who are dealing with loved ones who they may have concerns about to start looking for warning signs and to encourage them to seek help. Here at the Florida Department of Health in Duval County, we have mental health counselors. We offer psychiatric services. A lot of people aren't aware of all the different services that are available here in Duval County.
There are that are low to no cost.
Yes. We encourage everybody to call. We have a scheduling line, and the schedulers are very knowledgeable, and they will help direct you in the right direction to get you to one of the counselors or get you scheduled for an appointment. Our scheduling number is 253-1190. We encourage anybody who has any questions or concerns to please give us a call. We're more than happy to help. Locally, we also have a wonderful resource that I'm not sure how many people are available. It's called First Call. It's a United Way helpline, and it offers availability 24/7 for anyone who has a need to call in. It's a hotline. You can dial 211 on your cell phone or 632-0600, and you will be put through directly to a trained professional who can help answer any questions and help them through whatever crisis they're dealing with.
Got another one.
Oh, I was just going to say there's also a national number, which is 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. So there is availability anywhere.
Help is out there. And here's one more number. It's the number to call into this show, 549-2937. And we'll go to your calls in just a moment as we discuss the new CDC report showing that suicide rates are up sharply in this country. Of course, there has already been reporting about middle-aged Americans between age 45 to 65. The numbers among that age group, suicide rate is up sharply, and that's been attributed to changing economic conditions. But in particular, the CDC found, Elizabeth, that women are killing themselves at higher rates than perhaps since numbers have been recorded. What, in your view, is driving the high suicide rate among women and girls, also teenage girls?
Well, I really think that everyone's situation is very, very specific to them. It's very hard to give a generalized answer as to why one particular group of people is looking at that as an option. You know, what I can say is that everybody has challenges that nobody else necessarily is aware of, and that being aware that what you can deal with is not necessarily what someone else can deal with. And encouraging someone who you see is struggling to seek help and to reach out and to access some of the many services that are available out there for them to get help is going to be an important thing. Now, when it comes to services, though, I will say I do think funding for mental health services needs to take a higher priority. Right now, they say that 90% of people who have committed suicide were previously diagnosed with a mental illness. And, you know, in the state of Florida, an estimated 4 million Floridians are coping with mental health issues. And there is really only funding to provide treatment and services to a small percentage of them.
So when you give the hotline number, as you just did, how great is the demand for services? How busy are your counselors?
Well, I can say that we're available. You know, we are trying to help as many people as we possibly can. We're highly available, and we do our best to get our clients in as fast as we possibly can. You know, I can't speak for any other agency or, you know, the hotline itself as to how available they are, because we're not affiliated with them specifically, but they are there. They're great resources. There's always someone you can turn to get help.
And lots of calls as we discuss high suicide rates in America. Did you see that number reported the other day? Rates are up the highest they've been in decades. We want your calls right now. As we connect you with Elizabeth Fields, she's a licensed mental health counselor with the Duval County Health Department, and the number to join us, 549-2937. Jasmine is on the south side. Hey, Jasmine, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I specifically wanted to address one of the populations that you mentioned, and that's teen girls. I work with at-risk teen girls quite frequently, and I find that there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to teachers or other people in their lives that are uninformed about the trauma that girls face and how that affects their mental health. So whether it's sexual abuse coming from a family that has a violence or physical abuse, and the things that girls take on from a young age from seeing those type of things and internalizing some of that trauma, and that leading to them wanting to not be here anymore and commit suicide. So I just wanted to kind of think about, I guess, teachers and counselors and anyone else that would come into contact with girls, how you can be that voice for them when they don't have it.
Yeah. Jasmine, thanks so much. She's absolutely right. Elizabeth.
Yes, very much so. You know, the Duval County Health Department, we do something called a youth risk behavior survey. And in 2015, at the survey that was conducted, the statistics that we have based on that indicate that 19.7% of high school students have contemplated suicide, and 18.9% of them have made some kind of an attempt. And actually, the rate in middle school is even higher, with 23.7% contemplating. Luckily, only 11.3% have actually made any kind of an attempt. Mm-hmm. You know, teachers are a wonderful, wonderful resource for students, and from all the teachers I know and all the teachers my children have dealt with, any person that has a problem in the student population, they can reach out to a teacher, and they're going to put them in connection with a guidance counselor or look for a resource to get them the help that they need. So there is always the option for help, even in our school system.
Let's go now to John in Riverside. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have a question, and it's related to pharmacological intake. So I was wondering if there are any relations to, you know, kids who are prescribed these behavioral drugs whenever they're at a young age, if they have a higher rate of suicide as they grow into adolescence and adulthood.
Meds like Adderall, like, for example, Adderall, you mean?
Yes, any of those behavioral type of drugs, you know, that are meant to help students, you know, concentrate or behave better or sit still in class, you know, those sort of things.
Sure. Yeah. Excellent question.
Well, I really don't have any specific statistics on that particular question. I wish I could provide more information, and it's an excellent question. You know, as a therapist, my primary focus is on providing talk therapy and coping skills that, children and adults can utilize in their daily life to help manage some of these stressful situations that they're dealing with. I think that there is definitely a place for psychiatric services, and it is highly beneficial to many people. You know, not being a psychiatrist, I can't really speak specifically regarding the medication component, as I don't prescribe medication. But I think that that's a wonderful question, and it's definitely something each parent with a child in that situation has to evaluate independently with a licensed physician provider, a psychiatric provider, who can help them make a determination if that is a good option for that child.
George in Jacksonville Beach. Hello, George.
Hi. I'm just curious to know if there's a correlation between poverty levels, economic levels, educational levels, and also the prevalence of maybe guns in the house. I wonder how those things factor into it.
Yeah, sure.
Do we have any studies to that effect?
Well, actually, George, the CDC study does look at how the method of suicide, and men are much more likely to kill themselves with a gun. Women are more likely to use other methods such as poisoning. However, the absolute number of gun suicides, according to this report, is on the rise by about 5,000 in sheer numbers. And we're getting comments about that on our First Coast Connect Facebook page as well. As JP writes, many gun deaths are suicide, and people who use a gun as a means to end their life don't usually get that second chance. If you or someone in your home is suicidal, please keep firearms secured. What about gun deaths, gun suicides?
We at the Department of Health haven't had a chance to research or look into that. I couldn't really provide you with a lot of specific information, especially relating to Duval County. I can say that if you know someone who is depressed, who is having a hard time, and who is looking for ways to harm themselves, or someone who has never shown an interest in guns before but suddenly buys one, that might be a warning sign and something that would trigger you to want to reach out to that person and try to help them get help before it gets to that point for them.
549-2937. Lots of calls, emails, tweets as we discuss the CDC's new report on rising suicide rates in this country. Let's go now to Tyler in St. John's County. Hey, Tyler. Good morning.
Hey, how's it? Good morning. Good morning. I'm curious about, you know, going on the discussion about correlation. I'm curious, you're looking in specifically St. John's County, and you compare that to maybe even, you know, some lesser affluent areas, more towards the inner city. I'm curious about the correlation between, you know, how they're still just a large number of joblessness and underemployment. I'm curious about the economic effects and how that's influencing you know, such a drastic increase here in Jacksonville and around the world.
Sure. And economic challenges can often be a factor, and in particular, we're seeing middle-aged Americans being susceptible to suicide. How much of this is driven by the economy, do you think?
Well, I couldn't speak specifically as to whether or not that's a driving force behind a certain percentage or not. I can say that economic and financial stressors are a big stressor, and it does impact people a great deal emotionally. I can say that they would benefit greatly from seeking help and talking with a trained professional to help them come up with some different ways to cope with a difficult and challenging situation so that hopefully they have access to the resources they need to prevent them from going down that path.
If someone calls the Duval County Health Department to make an appointment with you or another counselor, if they're uninsured, they can't afford services, what's the cost structure?
We actually have a wonderful thing called a clinic card, and people can go in and they do a financial evaluation. Our wonderful financial counselors talk with them, collect some information from them, and they provide them with a clinic card, which provides a sliding scale fee for services. We offer lots of services to many people at a 0% cost, and it goes up at different percentages at that point based on income. But yes, there is a lot of availability for services through the health department, and all you have to do is call.
Yeah, all you have to do is give them a call or go to their website, dchd.net. Don't hesitate to reach out if you do need someone to help. And the number to call us, meanwhile, is 549-2937. Dara in St. Augustine. Hey, Dara, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I work with drug addicts, and I can honestly say that most of them have depression, and therefore it's not being treated, so they use drugs to cope with their depression, and then they either overdose or they're so hopeless that they try to kill themselves. So it's, and I also think it's family support. We've changed from a community where we used to have grandparents living with us, and now we're just single parents trying to make it all by ourselves, and we feel alone. And a lot of times we end up, you know, feeling so alone that, you know, the world is better off without us.
Yeah. I think so many people are in that position. What about those factors?
Dual diagnosis, which is where someone's dealing with a substance abuse issue in addition to a mental health issue, is a very difficult to treat population. And both issues, the mental health and the substance abuse, do need to be addressed and treated. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say, does the mental health issue drive the substance abuse, or does the substance abuse contribute to the mental health issue? But both of them are equally important. And I do know that there's a lot of wonderful agencies locally, River Region, Gateway Community Services, that primarily focus on substance abuse and the dual diagnosis factor, trying to work with people on treating both of those issues.
Let's go to Julie in downtown Jacksonville. Hey, Julie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was wondering if your guests could talk about the relationship between anxiety and depression, and how, particularly maybe with younger people, middle school, high school, how they may be not exhibiting what we would consider the stereotypical signs of depression, but maybe be more on the anxiety scale and then still be at risk of suicide.
Okay, thanks.
Well, adolescents and children do typically not fall into what you would consider to be typical symptoms of depression or anxiety. Usually there's a lot of anger issues, there's a lot of irritability. You know, and if you see those types of things in your child, the one thing that I can encourage you is to reach out and get help for them. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's through the school and the guidance counselor, or whether it's through seeing a licensed mental health professional. You know, whoever you end up seeing, they're going to evaluate and try to determine what's going on and the best course of treatment, and hopefully help them have some coping skills that they can use to address some of that, and also help parents understand a little bit more what's going on with that child.
Do you find often that people don't seek help until they're really in a crisis? People tend not to be proactive about this because there's still a stigma associated with needing therapeutic help, unfortunately.
Right. I do think there is a stigma, but I do think it is lessening, but it is there.
Yeah.
You know, I think that people need to be proactive in realizing that mental health issues are a very big, important factor of the whole person. You know, when you're feeling poorly physically, your mental health suffers. When you're not doing well mentally, your health can suffer. They're very much connected. There is very much a mind-body connection. And, you know, being aware that treating mental health-related issues can physically help improve different things that a person is dealing with in their everyday life.
And lots of calls for Elizabeth Fields with the Duval County Health Department as we discuss a new report from the Centers for Disease Control showing that suicide rates in this country are the highest they've been in decades. What do you think is driving that? We welcome your calls. 549-2937. Let's go now to Joel in St. John's County. Hi, Joel.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest thinks there is less stigma around suicide than there has been in previous generations. And I just think about like the conservative Christian community I grew up in. There was a time when that was a huge, huge stigma. But talking to friends of mine who are, you know, who are still very socially, religiously conservative, particularly younger ones, they no longer believe that it's like the unpardonable sin, that the stigma may be less than it used to be. And I'm wondering if the therapist has any information on that or opinion on that.
Right. That's interesting as well.
That is a very good and interesting question. I don't think I probably have an adequate answer for it.
But if someone is less afraid of going to hell, I guess, if they commit suicide, that might remove their hesitancy.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah.
I think each individual person, as I've said previously, every case is different and every person's situation is different. And, answering a question like that without having a specific case study and being able to say, well, this is what's going on with this person, and maybe we can look at these factors and say, well, this is contributing or that is contributing. It's a very open-ended question, and there's probably many, many different answers in reality.
Doran on the West Side. Doran, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa and Elizabeth. I attended a conference earlier this week that reviewed the CDC's health statistics for the, it's actually called Youth Risk Behavior Survey for Duval County. And the numbers are startling as far as our high school students who have committed suicide or attempted committing suicide. It's around 20% compared to almost 8% for the state of Florida and 8% for the U.S. For that same population. I just wanted to bring this to the conversation and say, hey, we have a crisis of suicide happening in our high schools and middle schools. And I would love it, Melissa, if you could get Dr. Vitti to come on and maybe others to look at this. He was actually there at the conference, so he's aware of these statistics. But I'm wondering what is happening in our mental health community and our schools that address this. And particularly, I'll say this very quickly, Health Zone 4 has a higher rate than anywhere else, and that's kind of the inner west side. Mm-hmm. So it could be related to economics, but that's just my speculation.
Okay.
So that's what I wanted to contribute.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Those are actually some of the statistics I referred to a little bit earlier today. And they are staggering statistics. I'm not actually in the school system with the students and with the teachers and the guidance counselors. So I'm not sure specifically how schools are addressing it.
But I think they have in recent years really gotten proactive, but clearly there is an issue.
Right, definitely. And I do think that there's room to look at what we can do to help address that. And again, I'll point out, funding is a big issue. And, Florida ranks 49th out of 50
Mental
health funding.
That's right.
Yes.
Emily on the South Side. Hi, Emily. Hey, Emily, good morning.
Good morning. My opinion about a lot of suicides is that the economy, people working two and three jobs, and, if you're a kid just graduating high school and thinking about college and the expense, that compared to working two and three jobs just to get by, I think drives a lot of people crazy,
Sure.
That's my opinion. I think the economy is mostly, because there's a lot of mental health issues also. I think a lot of our leaders could use mental health psychiatric counseling.
Then that's another show, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to try to laugh during a serious topic today, don't we, Emily? Thank you. Yeah, well, she's right. The unemployment rate overall is down to about 5%, but that sort of masks the fact that many, many millions of Americans are still struggling. And it is enormously stressful.
It is. It truly is. And I do think that even though the unemployment rate is down, I think a lot of people are underemployed.
Working two part-time jobs,
right,
maybe.
Just like she pointed out, working several jobs to deal with all the different things they need to deal with in their life.
Janice writes on our First Coast Connect Facebook page, I think part of the problem is that we really don't see how prevalent suicide is in this society. Maybe if the information on the number of suicides that have occurred every week, month, year in our area came out, a person would be more likely to take their depressed friend or family member seriously and push them to get help. Let's close with that. What's your final message to those listening who maybe they're depressed or they have someone close to them who they are concerned about?
If they're concerned, review warning signs, look for warning signs in that person, be there for them, be a support system for them, and encourage them to get help. Use some of those hotlines that I mentioned earlier, and by all means, feel free to contact the Florida Department of Health and our Behavioral Health Services Division. We're more than happy to address and help any issue people have.
Elizabeth Fields, licensed mental health counselor with the Duval County Health Department. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And a quick note, we want to mention that award-winning global keynote speaker Kevin Hines, author of Cracked, Not Broken, Surviving and Thriving After a Suicide Attempt, will appear in Jacksonville. Hines is speaking Wednesday, May 11th at 10:30 a.m. at Jacksonville University's Gooding Conference Center. Meanwhile, much more still ahead on this program. We'll be right back.
Mosquitoes carrying the Zika virus could appear this summer in the southern U.S. Zika can cause birth defects, so pregnant women are seeking advice.
My first thought was like, I'm pregnant. I'm not going to put DEET all over myself. But I guess that's what we do.
And their doctors are on alert.
The first thing that I'm discussing now is Zika.
Pregnancy and Zika on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
WJCT and Baptist Health are pleased to announce that Amy Robach, news anchor of ABC's Good Morning America, will be this year's afternoon keynote speaker at Girls Day Out, September 17, 2016, Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Amy is also a breast cancer awareness advocate and author of My Breast Cancer Journey, From Fighter to Thriver. For more information or for tickets, log on to wjct.org/girlsdayout.
When gunshots go off, a high-tech system called ShotSpotter detects them and alerts the police. Officers go to the scene, but usually it's a false alarm or the suspect is long gone. So is it worth the millions cities around the country are spending?
Ultimately, it came down to a decision of, do you want to keep this system or do you want to hire another police officer?
On the next Reveal.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Artists, would you like your photography, music, paintings, or poetry featured on WJCT? Submit your work to The Square, an online gallery and competition for local artists. Winners get a quality video produced by WJCT about their work. If you've submitted during a past round, you can submit again. Share your work now at wjct.org/thesquare. Presented by WJCT and Grassroots Natural Market.
Welcome back. Well, it's a disease affecting more than 26 million Americans. Anyone can get chronic kidney disease at any age, but some groups are more at risk, like those with high blood pressure, diabetes, or a family history, along with older folks, African Americans, and others. The National Kidney Foundation of Florida is holding the Jack's Kidney Pump, a 5K walk and run, benefiting dialysis patients this Sunday. It's all happening at the Jacksonville Landing. Here with more, we welcome Catherine Fleckes. She's a social worker with NX Stage Kidney Care. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Mark Dent, he's a dialysis patient here in this city. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And I believe I should have said next stage. So let's begin with you, Catherine. This is the Jack's Kidney Pump. It's coming up this weekend. We'll give the details about the event in a moment. But first, let's share some facts about kidney disease and why it's important to get the word out.
Well, as you said, kidney disease affects a lot of people. Here in Florida, 1 in 9 people have kidney disease. And we have over 4,700 people waiting for transplant.
Wow, that's a long list.
Yeah, we have over 30 dialysis clinics serving a lot of people in this community.
Mark Dent, you're a dialysis patient. Can you share with us a little bit about your story and your situation?
Sure. Well, I was diagnosed in 1990 with something called minimal change disease, which doesn't mean that much to most of us, except some of the byproducts of that are hypertension, gout, excess protein in my urine at the time. They were wondering what it was. As it turns out, over the course of about 20 years, I lost kidney function gradually every year until the point where I needed to get on dialysis, which I've now been on for 5 years. You know, I treat at home. I do it 5 or 6 days a week, which is a great benefit to me because I have a very active lifestyle. Well, for a kidney patient, that is. So it's good for me that I can kind of pick the times that I do it and kind of feel good about that. But it was a life-altering thing, as you might imagine.
Sure.
You think, how am I going to put up with this? But you learn to deal with it. And we're always looking for ways to kind of get the word out to,
that's right,
to get help.
Dialysis for thousands of people in this area alone, it's a way of life. It's not a death sentence. It's not the end of the world. It's part of their life. I had two aunts, both who had juvenile diabetes, and they were both on dialysis pretty much for their whole lives, from the time they were little kids. Different situation for children than adults, but how will this event in particular help patients like Mark who are on dialysis?
The one program that the National Kidney Foundation of Florida has that's near and dear to my heart that we only have here in Florida is called the Direct Aid Program. And that's a program where patients can apply for financial assistance month to month. They're small grants, $100 to $250, but dialysis patients spend a lot of money on transportation to and from dialysis 3 to 5 days a week.
Right.
They have very expensive medications. They have very specific diets. So this program, the Direct Aid Program, has helped a lot of people. We gave out around $170,000 last year, and unfortunately is never enough.
Sure. Here are a few facts about kidney disease. About 73 million Americans are at risk. 26 million, that's 1 in 8 adults, have chronic kidney disease. It's one of the top 10 killers actually in this country, which I did not realize until this morning. So with all of that said, it's going to be a fun, positive event at the landing on Sunday. And people need to come out. It's a 5K run, walk, and a good time.
Absolutely. And it's a chance to obviously raise awareness about what kidney patients go through. We share information, little tips here and there. We're able to talk, which sometimes is just a good thing. Mm-hmm. Talk with other people that are kind of going through the same thing. So good way to get out and help.
This is Sunday at the Landing. The website to register,
JacksonvilleKidneyPump.org.
What else do people need to know?
What they need to know is you can walk or run. The walk is much shorter. We have a short loop for patients who do not want to walk that far. If you're a patient, you want to come out and get involved and you don't want to walk, we have folks sitting at the finish line cheering folks on because they can't walk, but they want to participate. It's a fun festival kind of event.
Yeah, and hopefully very good weather for this as well. Again, this is coming up Sunday, the National Kidney Foundation of Florida's Jack's Kidney Pump, a 5K walk and run, benefiting dialysis patients Sunday, May 1st at the Jacksonville Landing. Register now at JacksonvilleKidneyPump.org. Thanks so much, Catherine Fleckes with Next Stage Kidney Care. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And also with us, patient Mark Dent. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
And still more to come, a look at other weekend events all around town. Keep listening.
Puerto Rico's in a debt crisis, and with crisis come drastic measures.
Would you really picture any state making that kind of offer and saying, well, we're just going to turn off the power to the hospitals and good luck to the patients, but we've got to pay those bondholders first?
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The economic past comes back to haunt Puerto Rico's people. That's next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. the WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
On the next Fresh Air, comic and actor Gerard Carmichael, the star of the NBC sitcom The Carmichael Show. On a typical episode, Gerard and the characters of his girlfriend, his parents, and brother take different positions on issues like, once you know the allegations against Bill Cosby, is it still okay to watch his show? Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Some people say it's a state of mind. Others insist there's no such thing. But others pack their bags, say their goodbyes, and head out of the door. On the next Snap Judgment, we're going with them to Shangri-La. Come with. Snap Judgment, storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, the 5th annual Jacksonville Jewish Food Festival is coming up this weekend with traditional delights from nearly 24 local restaurants and caterers. Robert Cohen is here to tell us about the event. He's a member of the Temple down on San Jose Boulevard. That's where this is all taking place. And this sounds really delicious. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is the largest fundraiser for the Temple of the year. So it's a great cause. But people need to come. If people have never been to this, they need to come out and check it out because the food is incredible.
Well, it is. And I don't know if you're... Many in your audience are old enough to remember, but one of the advertising slogans for Levy's Jewish Rye years ago was, uh-huh. You don't have to be Jewish to enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
And that's true for this. It's just a wonderful selection of foods, and it's a great afternoon.
Now, we're talking brisket sliders, corned beef, matzo ball soup, latkes, bagels with lox, baklava, macaroons.
The list keeps going.
Yeah, it sounds pretty darn amazing. Who are some of the restaurants that are taking part?
The list goes from Athens Cafe and Beirut Restaurant, because some of Jewish food is Middle Eastern food, hummus uh-huh. and falafel, to Nothing Bundt Cakes, Heroes
oh, I love
Eatery,
them. Yeah.
Whole Foods, and Trader Joe's, Menchie's Yogurt. That Marriott South Point. I mean, I don't want to leave anybody off on the list I'm talking about because we've
sure.
got more than 20 really wonderful sponsors.
And I've got to ask you, what is Bubby's Bake Off?
It's a contest that's held each year. Bubby is Yiddish for grandma.
Grandma, yeah.
And the contestants ostensibly bake cakes using their grandma's favorite recipes. And
aww.
There's a panel of judges with cookbook authors and food bloggers. And there's a children's division as well. So it's going to be a great day for families of all sizes.
So really nice bragging rights for whichever Bubby is the victor.
Well,
and some prizes.
Everyone's going to brag that their Bubby's the best no matter what.
Of course. Now, this is a fundraiser for the Temple. That's Congregation Ahavath Chesed on San Jose Boulevard. This is your biggest one of the year.
It is, and it's important to the congregants that it succeed. But really, for your audience, we don't want people to come because it's a financial benefit to the Temple. We want mm-hmm. them to come because it's a great event, and it's a great family event. It costs $20 for an individual to come, or $50 for a family, which includes as many kids in the real family, immediate family, as there are kids under three are free. It's all you can eat.
For $20 for an adult. That's
yes,
a good deal.
It is. And you can't take anything home because that way you could really load up, but it's going to be a wonderful afternoon.
There's also a L'Chaim wine wall. And that makes me think of Fiddler on the Roof right away. L'Chaim, you know.
Well,
that sounds fun.
There's going to be a lot of sampling. I mean, people may not know that Israeli wines are just wonderful, and they're highly regarded nationally by wine aficionados. So this will be an opportunity to experience some of that.
Now, can people just walk up and buy tickets?
Absolutely.
Jacksonville's such a walk-up kind of place.
Exactly. There's no necessity to buy in advance, and it's all indoors, so it'll be rain or shine. It'll be terrific. And there's a kids' area for where the kids will have arts and crafts as well as some food-related activities.
It is the 5th annual Jacksonville Jewish Food Festival. It is coming up Sunday, this Sunday, from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Temple. That is at 8727 San Jose Boulevard. If you've never been, $20 will get you some incredible food and drinks and fun for the kids. Sounds amazing. It's that time of year with festivals and events like this busting out all over. So add this one to your calendar. Robert Cohen with the Temple, thanks so much for sharing this with us. Have a great time out there.
Well, thank you. We welcome everybody who has the time and the interest to come.
And a look at more weekend events with The Spectator. We'll be right back.
Me out, and I have to say yes, because guess why? Ends up he had been driving around the block for a month waiting for me to come out, and nothing says love like stalking.
Join us next time for the Moth Radio Hour, true stories told live from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturdays at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday through Saturday nights on 89.9 when we bring you music from around the world. All styles played, all songs considered. Join me for the Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday nights.
Welcome back. Lots going on all around town this weekend. Finally, this hour. From Welcome to Rockville to Prokofiev, you can take your pick here to take us all around town. We welcome the Spectator.com's Carrie Speckman here
Yay!
Today. And, you know, we were just talking about the Jewish Food Festival on Sunday.
And you know what?
That looks like fun.
I was supposed to judge, but I can't. I've judged once before.
Whew. Good stuff.
Yes.
Well, you are probably one of the most coveted celebrity judges in these
well,
parts,
I wouldn't
Carrie
say celebrity,
Speckman.
But and I don't know that I coveted, but I'd probably judge the most things.
You enjoy that. Well, hey, it's a free ticket too, right? You
exactly.
can get in for free.
But you're already so full from eating bunt cakes. And
exactly.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to
But the
to
food was delicious. Food delicious.
Well, we talked about that. Thursday through Sunday, if you're a Marvel fan, it's Marvel Universe Live.
It's live with all caps and an exclamation point.
They
Just
are
to
coming
let you know.
To Jacksonville. Where are they going to be?
They're going to be the arena.
At the arena, okay.
It's Thursday through Sunday. And your favorite heroes, the Avengers, Spider-Man, Iron Man, it's an action-packed arena extravaganza. They have pyrotechnics, special effects, martial arts, motorcycles even.
Oh, wow.
I know. They're not...
Pretty tight.
They're not kidding.
That
Did
is,
you just say pretty tight?
That is Thursday through Sunday. At the. Why do you always laugh at me? I amuse you? Am I
yeah,
a comedian?
You do amuse me.
Am I funny to you?
It's just funny
do
certain words
you?
Like tight. That's just not a word I expect you to say.
Okay. Also tonight, you can watch the 2016 draft live. Now, this is going to be at FanDuel. Is this where are they
it's
having
hard to
this?
Say FanDuel.
FanDuelville.
FanDuelville. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's better than the
that
Clevelander.
That doesn't trip off the tongue.
But no. Yes, you can watch the draft there on the world's largest video boards.
Of course.
And Jackson DeVille will be there. The Roar will be there. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. They'll have alumni and current players doing autographs. It's going to be quite quite an event, I would say.
Yeah, that's big time. And our own Cole Pepper has been giving us his thoughts on who the Jaguars are going to draft. We'll have to see if he's proved right when he comes back to see us on Monday. But again, you can head down to the stadium tonight to watch the draft live on the world's largest video boards, as the Spectator said. Now, Friday, a very different type of event.
Yes.
As Nathan Aspinall conducts Prokofiev's Cinderella.
I'm glad you said that word, because I don't know that I could have said it. Yes, and I believe this is his last conduction of the season.
Conduction. Don't use that word in front of Courtney Lewis. That wouldn't
fly.
Well,
Courtney's is coming up, his last. And I just met Nathan, and he is a delight. I met him at the last symphony thing. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this will be the Cinderella Ballet, but then the music will be provided by the symphony. Okay. Obviously, they will not be doing the dancing.
That's Friday at the Times Union Center. Now, also Friday, it's Jacksonville Magazine's Fashion Project. This is sort of like Project Runway. It's like a design competition.
Yes, yeah. And it is also, and it's professional and novice designers. And then also they hook up with models, and then the models are also competing to be on the cover and in a fashion spread.
So this is happening at the Jacksonville Bank Building.
That is correct.
Friday at 6.
Just as a little side note, Ioana House and Whitney Thompson, who both won America's Next Top Model, appeared on the cover of Jacksonville Magazine before winning.
That is correct. And Ioana House is just
fabulous. She's tearing it up.
She is. And you can also check out her shows at the website tvjax.com, Fashion Gone Local. Now, the other day we talked about this event. I've taken my kids to this. This is the neatest thing in the world. The Tree Hill Nature Center's Butterfly Festival.
Yes.
They do this butterfly release, and if you've never seen it.
I have not.
They get everyone, all kinds of stuff happens all day long.
Right.
But then the big culmination is the butterfly release. They let thousands of butterflies free at the same time. It's mind-blowing. You've got to go see it. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
It really is. And thousands of gorgeous butterflies just burst out of this.
I'm kind of scared of butterflies.
Really? Why?
I don't really like things that fly.
Okay. Like even butterflies?
Birds.
They're so beautiful.
I like them and like to look at them, but...
Well, when they release them, it's almost like a volcano of butterflies. They just shoot up into the air, thousands of them.
It's an irrational fear.
Well, we all have those.
I have many of them, but that is one of them. But I'm sure it is a beautiful and lovely event.
It is. And all proceeds go to Tree Hill Nature Center. This is Saturday from 10 to 4. They are in Arlington. It's this incredible little garden oasis.
I've actually never
in the
been
middle.
There at all.
It's a beautiful place.
I need to go.
It's
put
this
it on
little
my list.
Pocket of paradise right in the middle
pocket
of town.
Pocket of paradise. They could use that as a slogan.
I've got a million.
Pocket of paradise, says Melissa Ross.
I've got a million of them, Spectator. All right. Now, let's talk about the big weekend event. It's Welcome to Rockville.
They already have a Ferris wheel because
I saw the Ferris wheel.
And, of course, the Jack Daniels tent.
Yeah.
I mean,
already set
up.
Already set up.
But, it is 2 days of rock, pretty much. I mean, they have Disturbed, Shinedown, Collective Soul, Pennywise, bands I've actually heard of.
Rob Zombie.
Megadeth.
Cypress Hill.
Yeah, on 4 stages. They will have beer and wine and mixed drinks, which I know is important to some people. They will have food. It is at Metro Park. And like I said, it's 2 days.
Yeah, this is Saturday and Sunday, Metropolitan Park. It's Welcome to Rockville. People on the South Bank will not be happy about this.
Probably
not. That
has
been an issue in the past. It's loud.
Megadeth in particular, I'm going to go ahead and say, is going to be the loudest.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't want that noise in your vicinity, just be advised. But for the many fans of this festival, they will be happy.
They will be rocking out. They won't even notice.
Yeah. So, and then finally, last but not least, also on Saturday, it's the inaugural Jacksonville Dance Film Festival at the Sunray Cinemas.
Yes, is going to be showcasing local, regional, national, and international dance films. It's to introduce, I don't know that's really introducing, Jacksonville knows we have a dance community. It's just not that prevalent or well known. But so this is the first one. They're hoping to boost their audience.
Boost their profile. And then the Suns play this weekend in the sports complex as well.
That is correct.
And the new owner of the Suns, Kim Babby, he's been doing a great job.
I know.
Kind of getting the excitement building for the Suns.
And just like a tiki bar.
Exactly.
And they had a food tasting a couple weeks ago. They have like chicken biscuits and like grilled cheese with brie and mushroom. I mean, like that's jambalaya.
At the ballpark.
Yes.
How about that?
I know. Like really, wings. The wings are good. I'm not a huge wing fan, but they're really good.
Yeah. So get out and enjoy and do something fun this weekend. There are lots of choices. Go to Carrie's website, thespectator.com.
That's for more information. That's the one.
All right, I'll see you next weekend.
Yes, next weekend.
Next Thursday.
Oh, why, are we going somewhere?
Probably, I don't know,
Rockville
maybe.
Rockville Part 2?
No, I don't know. We'll figure something out. We're going to go to that Purple Rain screening in June at Sunray.
June
7th. That we got to do.
Get your tickets.
Yeah,
it's
get your tickets
Sunray
for that.
Seriously, because it's going to sell out.
Yeah, it will. All right, thank you, Carrie Speckman.
You are welcome, Melissa Ross.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today. This program's producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Make sure to subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can watch the show now, video on demand, at our partner, TVJax.com. Some segments also at MetroJaxSunVale.com. Next on Diane Rehm, Ted Cruz announces Carly Fiorina as his running mate. Analysis of the announcement and its implications from CNN's Manu Raju. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. See you then. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.